So we've been looking this week at Psalm 51. And in Psalm 51, again, just a really quick reminder what I love about Psalm 51, 23 verses, and in those 23 verses, numerous times, we see a verse will begin with one of these three different phrases. Listen to me, hear me, or awake, awake. And it's God speaking through his prophet Isaiah to give us words of encouragement and hope. Again, we said that these are words that Isaiah gave to the nation at that moment. And they were words for the nation to look ahead because there were some hard times. But this is the assurance that there is salvation, there's deliverance that's coming. And these things all foreshadow just what we have in Jesus Christ and the life that we have, the promises that we walk in, the fullness of all the good things, the good plans that God the Father had through us that came to us through the Son, Jesus Christ. So for those who heard the word when Isaiah gave it, it was looking ahead towards promises. It was to encourage them. But we look at it as we look back because we've seen that done in Jesus Christ. So we can look back and see that it's done and thus know that it's ours and that we have all those good things that are promised to us. So we were looking yesterday at verses 7 and 8, and I love these verses. This is where Isaiah says, speaking for God, God speaking through Isaiah, listen to me, you who know rightness and justice and right standing with God, the people in whose heart is my law and my instruction. Fear not the reproach of men, neither be afraid nor dismayed by their revilings. For in comparison with the Lord, they are so weak that things as insignificant as a moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my rightness and justice and faithfully fulfilled promise shall be forever, and my salvation to all generations. And those are great words. Those are words that apply today. Those are words that I used yesterday. I read those words to you yesterday morning. I used those words two times yesterday with two different people, because they were words that spoke truth and rang truth in their situation. This is the beauty of just reading the Word of God. It always does have life. Even those words that God spoke to Isaiah 2,500 years ago, roughly. Even those words that God spoke to Isaiah, to those people, still ring with truth and even more power to us today because of who we are in Jesus Christ. And then the prophet Isaiah goes on to just continue to speak about, talking about the moth and the worm. Then in verse number 9, that's where we get the first time that we see these words, awake, awake. So the prophet's been saying to us, God's been speaking to us through the prophet, saying, listen to me, hear my words. And now he's saying, awake, awake. In other words, it's easy for us to slumber. It's easy for us to go through our life. And in our lives, it becomes very easy to get so comfortable. We fall asleep. It's like we're slumbering or napping at a time when we should be paying attention. We're napping and missing the spiritual things, missing the spiritual truths. We need to awake to the truth of Jesus Christ and not be lulled into sleep by this life that we live and the things in this world. And he goes on to talk about clothing yourself with strength on the arm of Jesus. In the Amplified Bible, it reads this way. Zion now cries to the Lord of Israel, awake, awake. Put on strength and might, O arm of the Lord. Awake, as in ancient days, as in the generations of long ago. And it's just talking about the things that God has done. Now, as we drop down to verses 12 and 14, this is God speaking. In verse 11, God says, the Lord God says, and the redeemed of the land shall return and come with singing to Zion. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So God is reminding them, listen, this is bad times. There's bad times. And the bad times are not because, God's bringing bad times. They do come from God for these people because God sent them into exile because under the old covenant, this was the structure. And that's another long story to explain that. But under the old covenant, there was discipline. Discipline in the new covenant comes through the word of God. Discipline in the old covenant, discipline under the old covenant because they could not understand the things. It's kind of like a child. If you discipline a child, why do you discipline a child? You don't discipline a child. If you're a parent, you don't discipline a child who is a small child the same way you would a child who is still living in your house that is a teenager or, you know, maybe even their last year of high school. And certainly as a parent, when your children become 30s and 40s, you treat them differently. But you treat a child a certain way because a child, you can't rationalize with a child. You can't reason with a child. A child doesn't have the ability to understand some of the things that you and I as adults would understand. And so that's why there is discipline. You discipline a child because words and reason are not going to make sense. What does make sense to a child is this. A child understands that if I do this, there are consequences. And this is the discipline that I receive because I have disobeyed. There's consequences. The consequences are a discipline. The discipline teaches the child to do right and to obey. Now, does the parent discipline just out of a mean-spirited heart? No, the parent disciplines out of love because the parent is able to see if a child doesn't obey these things. A child's not going to understand if you touch a hot stove, it's going to hurt you, it's going to burn you, and you're going to pay a price. A child doesn't understand that. And so you have to tell the child, but you tell the child that there's consequences, you know, if they disobey. You give consequences and you give discipline because you love and because you want to protect, because you can see and understand things that the child cannot. So a child understands that if I disobey, there's discipline, which makes the child then obey. Well, that's very much the way it was in the Old Testament. Think about it this way. In the Old Testament, they had the Word of God. But we know from the New Testament, and we know from the writings of the New Testament, that the Word of God and the things of God, the Word of God that you and I are reading right now, it makes sense to us. Why? Because we now have the Holy Spirit living in us. The Bible itself tells us that the Word of God is foolishness to man. It is foolishness to the flesh. Those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, who have not accepted His sacrificial work in their life, they can read the same word that you do, but it's absolute foolishness to them. It makes no sense. They cannot understand it. See, the Word of God in the Bible is a mystery to the world. It's a mystery to the flesh. But because you and I, because Jesus came, because Jesus died, because He rose again, because He defeated sin and death, and because now His Spirit lives within us, we have the ability through that Spirit to understand the Word of God. We have the wherewithal through the Holy Spirit that is in us to understand, and the Holy Spirit teaches us. And we have the ability through Jesus Christ to be able to understand what is impossible to understand through the flesh and through the natural mind. The natural mind cannot conceive of or understand these things. But you can understand them because you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you have His Spirit in you. Your heart is open to receive those things and you have the Holy Spirit to show you those things. And they make sense to you. That's why it's frustrating to sometimes try to explain, you know, why you live a Christian life to someone who's not a Christian. It just makes no sense, the things that you do. Well, in that same token, if you go back to the Old Testament, even the great men of God, even Isaiah is speaking what the Lord is saying to him. And the Holy Spirit can give some revelation and some understanding. But the people of Israel, they have not received the Spirit. They've not received the Holy Spirit. They can't, because Jesus had not yet come. He had not yet died, rose again, defeated sin and death, ascended to heaven to be seated victoriously at the right hand of the Father, and then had the Holy Spirit, His Spirit, come to fill those who would accept His sacrificial work. The people of the Old Testament didn't have that. Under the Old Covenant, that was impossible. And so they could not understand. So when you consider, if you and I, the things that you and I know and understand, we take it for granted because we know and understand it. And we think, well, it's understandable. We think our natural mind can understand these things. If you and I were living before Christ, if we were living back in the time of the Old Covenant, you wouldn't understand the things that you understand now. You wouldn't understand the spiritual things because you would not have the ability to understand those spiritual things. So when you look at the Old Testament and those who lived under the Old Covenant, they could not. It was impossible. And it would be the same thing for you because they only had their natural minds. It was impossible for them to understand. And so, since they could not understand things, God had to treat them as He would treat a child. As a parent, how do you treat a child? A child that cannot understand adult thoughts. A child that cannot reason as an adult. You can't try to reason with them because they will not understand. This is why you put discipline in place. You have discipline so that they know if they disobey, there's going to be discipline. You enforce that discipline, not because you're angry, but because you love them and you want them safe and you want them to grow and you want them to have all that is for them. It is love that motivates a parent to discipline because the child cannot understand. Under the old covenant, the men and women could not understand, so God had a different system. His system was discipline. There would be discipline. And that's what we see taking place here with Isaiah. Isaiah is saying, listen, this is the discipline of the Lord. You have rejected God. You've rejected his word. You've become idolaters. You have rejected the word of God that has been sent to you through prophets. You've rejected and killed the prophets. And now, because of that, here's the discipline. You're heading towards death. Here's the discipline. You're going to be in exile. And you're going to be in exile for a set amount of time. You're going to be subservient. You no longer have Jerusalem and Judah. Hard times are coming. You're going into exile. But it was done because of God's love. Everything God does is motivated by his love. So as Isaiah is speaking these things in verses 9, 10, and then we drop down to 11 and 12, the Lord says, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing. He's saying, listen, there's bad things. There's a hard time that's coming for you. Discipline is on the way. And you will be disciplined, but be encouraged in this. The redeemed, those who are redeemed in the Lord, shall return and come with singing back to Zion. He's saying, you're going to have 70 years in exile, but always understand and hold out this hope. Know this encouraging word. There's going to be return of you, my people, back to Jerusalem, back to Zion, with singing, with everlasting joy. Everlasting joy shall be on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. You know what? That did take place. You can see that they did return with joy, with singing. But this is even more true for you and I. You know, sometimes it feels like we're going through hard times. And we do. You know, in this life, there are hard times. This is a fallen world. And in this fallen world, there's going to be struggles. That's just the way that it is. Now, we know that we have the deliverance. We know that we have the victory. Even if I can't see the victory right now today, I still know. I know that the promises of Jesus Christ in his word are true. And so we stand on those promises in his word. And if we see things in our life that are contrary, that's all right. I can just wait because I know I'm going to walk in victory. There might be sorrow right now, but I know that I'm going to turn around because God's going to turn the situation around and I'm going to walk in victory. There'll be rejoicing. There'll be singing. There'll be joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. In verse 12, it goes on, I am he who comforts you. This is a great thing to realize with whatever you're going through in your life today. Know that God is the one who is there to comfort you. He himself comforts you. And he's given us the Holy Spirit. His very spirit is in us. This is a promise that God made to the people, to his children, the Israelites in the old covenant. But it's even more true for you and I. Because God said, I am the comforter. God is the comforter. And it's the very spirit of God that is in you that Jesus himself said is that comforter. He identified the Holy Spirit as the comforter. No matter what you're going through today, no matter what you are walking through, you have the comforter within you. So you can heed these same words and know that it doesn't matter what you're going through. You keep walking through it in Jesus Christ. And the comforter is going to be there. God's very spirit is going to be there to comfort you as you walk through that. And you keep walking through it with the comforter because you're going to know at the end, you will be having that victory. You will have returned to that place of victory and overcoming where they'll be singing and rejoicing and sorrow and sighing has fled. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who shall die, or of a son of man who shall be made as destructible as grass? That you should forget the Lord your God, who stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and fear continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, when he makes ready to destroy you, even though he did so. And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile, which is what they're going to be, and he who is bent down in chains shall speedily be released, and he shall not die and go down to the pit of destruction, nor shall his food fail. See, again, this is just showing us exactly the same principle. God is letting them know, listen, this is discipline that's coming because you need to. You did not obey. You did not obey, and you have turned away from me, and you have destroyed yourselves in doing this. So here's the discipline to bring you back to me. But I'm going to walk with you. I'm the comforter. You shall return. Don't fear man. Don't fear those who are oppressing you. Don't fear. You're going into exile under man, but don't fear, because I'm still God, and you are still in my hand. Again, that same thing is true for you and I today. And this is one of those things where we see the words, listen to me, hear my voice. God is saying to you, doesn't matter what you're going through today, doesn't matter what you're experiencing, I am your comforter, and I will bring you comfort. And you have to know that there is an end to whatever you're going through. There is an end. There is an end. And if we keep moving forward in Jesus and in his comfort, that's faith to continue to walk forward, even though it's a struggle, even though sorrow might be present, and even though sighing might be the sounds that come out of you right now. And it might feel like, and it might appear, and the reality is right now, it may be uncomfortable and it may be unpleasant. But he is saying, know this, even as it was true for those who had a different covenant, and we've got a superior covenant, even as it was true for them that he would be there to comfort them, and he was there to protect them, and even though he was sending them into exile, now God hasn't sent you into a bad situation, there's a difference in the covenants, but even though he was sending them into exile, he would still be there with his hand to hold them and to keep them, and they need not fear, even those oppressors, even those who they were underneath in exile, they need not fear, because God is the ultimate strength. And they need to look to him. This is their lessons in looking to him. During that time of trial, it's to look to him. You know, the Israelites really brought this. The Jerusalem and the nation of Judah really brought this upon themselves. It's their own idolatry that brought this upon them. Is it a discipline? Yes. But it is their actions. And it is what they did that brought them to this. I find many times, now, sometimes in life, bad things happen just because, again, we live in a fallen world. But many times I find myself in a bad situation because of my choices, because of the things that I have done. I'm the one that's brought myself there. And even in those times, I can take confidence and have peace that God loves me, and he's there. And he's letting me know, hey, listen, don't worry. What can man do to you? What can this world and this earth do to you? Because I'm God and I'm still God. You keep walking with me. I'm going to comfort you as you walk. And we will walk together. I will walk you into that place of victory and that place of deliverance where once again, you will be singing and rejoicing and sorrow and sighing will have fled and departed. So hear. Hear the voice of God and not the voice of the word. Of the world. Hear the voice of God and not the voice of men. Hear the voice of God and not the voice of the deceiver. Hear the voice of God. You are free. In Jesus Christ, you are free. That's what you need to hear. Obviously, we don't have time to go all the way through Isaiah chapter 51. It's a great chapter. Keep reading through it yourself and just be encouraged. I just love that God is continually telling us, hear, hear this. Listen to me. Awake to this. These are the truths that I have for you. Jesus, we hear, we listen, and we thank you for your love and your faithfulness and your word and your encouragement. We thank you and praise you. You be glorified, Jesus, in everything. You be glorified in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.